The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 102, Andy Griffith Statue, part 3. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's. You'll see some great new items. We've got the 50th anniversary of the Andy Griffith Show coming up. You'll be able to see limited edition prints there, as well as a brand new CD by Rodney Dillard, Darling Boy with a Guitar. So drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thank you very much for your support. Tonight's executive producer is Doug Rogers. Doug, thanks a lot. I appreciate you. Hello, everybody. My name is Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. It's great to have you back with us again. Doug Rogers, he's been kind enough to provide us with the audio that we've been hearing the last 2 weeks, and we're going to hear again tonight and next week. From Andy Griffith when he got his statue, or when the statue was presented by TV Land to Mount Airy, North Carolina back in 2004. So that's the reason Doug is helping bring this podcast to you, and we can't thank him enough for that. So if you have any unusual or old or just audio clips that you think the other fans of the show would love to hear, we'd love to hear them. So contact me, and you can share them with us all. So anyway, so let's get on into this. Now, this is part 3 of Andy presenting or being at the statue presentation. And this one goes into how the Andy Griffith Show itself really came to be. There were a lot of years when Andy would talk about, you know, Mount Airy. Andy Griffith Show's not based on Mount Airy. It's just not what it's based on. But on this clip, you're going to be able to hear Andy go on about just all that was involved with coming up with the show and some of the trips that they made to Mount Airy to do research. So let's get into that. Let's go ahead and get started, because I know you're anxious to hear it. I know I am. So here is part 3 of the Andy Griffith Statue.
And now, I was living in Rye, New York in those days when I was on Broadway. And Sheldon brought two writers, Chuck Stewart and Jackie Ellenson, to my house to see if we could come up with a few shows to start with. And we did. We came up with some outlines for a few shows. Two of them were, one, The New Housekeeper. That was our first show, where Aunt Bee came to be our housekeeper. The second one was the show that turned the tide. It was called Manhunt. Now, originally I was supposed to be funny and tell little funny stories about the people in Mayberry. And on that second show, I recognized that Don Knotts should be funny and I should play straight for him. It worked out good for both of us. Don won 5 Emmys. And I got to play straight for all the other comedic characters in the show. Oh, yeah, it was one. Floyd the Barber.
Yeah.
Otis the Town Drunk. Gomer, Goober, Margaret Ann Peterson, Charlene. Everybody. And the whole Darling family. And who threw rocks? Ernest D. Bass. I couldn't think of it for a second. And one day there in Rye, a man came to see me named Aaron Rubin. Now, Aaron was a Jewish man, or is a Jewish man. He's still alive. And we sat and talked in two lawn chairs in front of our garage. And I liked him. And Aaron became our producer and head writer and my lifelong friend. And then a man named Bob Sweeney joined our show and directed our show for 3 years. And before we started, Aaron came down here to Mateo to look around, to Mount Airy, to look around, talk to people, and Bob came to look around, talk to people, get a feeling, take pictures of my family. And they wanted to come down here to where it all started, to be able to tell it right. And then we added wonderful writers over the years. Jim Fritzell and Everett Greenbaum from San Francisco and Buffalo, New York. Harvey Bullock from right here in North Carolina. Oh yeah. Freddie Fox, a famous joke writer. Billy Idelson was a young radio actor, became a writer. So many fine writers. The way we put the show together was this. Sharon, at the beginning of each season, or the end of each season, Sheldon, Aaron, me, and as many writers as we could get in Sheldon's office would pitch stories all day long for several days. Some stories would go away. Those that were chosen, that writer would take and write a first draft of that script, send it in to Aaron. He'd make notes on it, send it back, they'd write another draft. Then it'd come in and Aaron and I would work on it, and Sheldon. Finally, we would get it good enough that we'd read it around the table. All the actors would be present and read the script around the table. Everybody could say anything they wanted to say about it. Finally, we'd get it the best we could get it. And then it would go to the stage for rehearsal. Every script got a great deal of care so that we could make it the best we could. People sometimes ask me if Don and I ad-libbed. We ad-libbed when we were putting the script together. But once we got it together, we shot that. And hopefully it was right. We shot with one camera, like you shoot a movie. And people ask me sometimes why the show is so popular. And I've always said it's because it was based on love.
So there you go. It's based on love. Maybe that's the reason we all love it so much. It was just, there's just so much. You can really see the love between the characters on that show. You can see Andy loved Barney. There's no doubt. And, Barney just aggravated him to death at times, but Andy always loved him. He did think about killing him. He didn't want to go that far, I guess. And Aunt Bee was really the one, I guess, wanted to string a rope across the road. So, but everybody loved each other. And I do think that's part of what makes it enjoyable, because Andy's talked in other places about nobody wanted to, none of the jokes, none of the funny things were really at the expense of one of the characters. And that was because they loved them. They loved each other and they cared about each other. And that really came across. Now, you heard him talk about as well, that they traveled to Mount Airy there right in that area and saw how things really were. And they brought that back. And that was part of the scripts. They actually had visited the area. So they understood the way the community was. They understood how things kind of fit together in a small town like that. And I think that came across in the scripts as well. So, because all these guys that wrote these things, man, they were from all over the place. Of course, Harvey was from there in North Carolina, but they were just from everywhere. So they were able to see Mount Airy and see how Andy grew up and kind of base the entire thing on that. So anyway, that was just a wonderful story for me. It's been on for 50 years, almost a couple of weeks. It'll be 50 years. And I just don't think it's ever going to get old to us. Would be remiss if I didn't mention, since we're talking and it's the time of year that it is, that this coming week, beginning on really Thursday, is the 20th anniversary edition of Mayberry Day. So it's the 20th year. So that's the 21st year, I believe. And so it's the 20th anniversary. So, folks, if you get a chance to go to Mayberry Days, I definitely encourage you. If you haven't, I did a podcast a few episodes back where I kind of went through all the different things about Mayberry Days. Let's see if I can run that down. But if you get a chance to go to that, to go to Mayberry Days, make sure you enjoy all the different events that are going on. And let me tell you, this is kind of breaking news, but they've added a bonus performance. So if you get there Thursday, if you get there early, there has been a brand new event performance by James Best that has been added. It's going to be a one-man show that James Best is going to be doing on Thursday. So when you get there, make sure you look for that and try to attend that. It's going to be Thursday. I'm trying to find the time. I didn't look that up. Should have before I started. But it's on Thursday afternoon, I believe. So try to make some plans for that. And if you're interested in seeing exactly what time, I'll have that in the show notes. And it'll also be, you can find it if you go to surreyarts.org. So it's SURREYARTS.org. And you'll be able to see that. And I believe you can see it if you go to mayberrydays.org as well. So check that out. And the other thing that's been announced was the Grascals will be doing a special performance at the Mayor's Proclamation on Friday morning. So that's a big thing. Those guys, if you don't know, they're the Bluegrass Entertainers of the Year, multi-time Bluegrass Entertainers of the Year, the Grascals. So you're invited to come to that as well. So folks, if you can make it to Mayberry Days, it's going to be big, 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 big. You know, big ain't the word for it. So try to be there if you can. And if you can't, we'll be reporting back here on the podcast, I'm sure, about any big events or big things that happen during the weekend. We're not really expecting anything unusual. We got a lot of cast members coming to Mayberry Days this year. See if I can run them off here. We got Betty Lynn Thelmalou. She's a native of Mount Airy now, lives there. Got Doug Dillard, the banjo playing Darling Boy. Maggie Peterson, Charlene Darling. Eleanor Donahue, Miss Ellie Walker, she's going to be there. James Best, I already mentioned. Ronnie Schell, he was in two episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. And, of course, he was Duke Slater on Gomer Pyle as well. So he's got a Mayberry connection that's big. Jackie Joseph, Romina, my darling Romina, she'll be there. Leroy McNeese, he was one of the country boys from Mayberry on record. George Spence, he was Frank the fiancé in the guest in the house episode. And we got Margaret Carey. Margaret Carey was Bess Muggins and Helen Scobie on the Andy Griffith Show. It's her first time at Mayberry Days, so that'll be great. We got Miss Hagen, Laura Hagen, Earl Hagen, the writer of the theme. His wife will be there. And Karen Knotts, Don Knotts' daughter. So there may even be more than that, but that's all that we've got listed on the Mayberry.com calendar. If you go to Mayberry.com and go to the calendar link, you can see all this information. But folks, I definitely encourage you to be there. Sorry if I'm boring you with Mayberry Days, but it's definitely on my mind because that's coming up. I'm leaving Wednesday, so hope I'll see you there. And I guess that's all we've got for you tonight. So I'd love to hear from you. We got one more episode related to the Andy Griffith statue with Andy himself. And then we'll be moving on, and that'll be right at the 50th anniversary. So we'll do some kind of a retrospective on that. And since it's been on for 50 years, I guess we can fill up a 10 or 15 minute podcast. So, all right, folks, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415, or you can drop me an email at floyd@mayberry.com, or you can drop by the Facebook fan page at facebook.com/twochairs, or just go to twochairsnowaiting.com and leave me comments and things there. We'd love to hear from you. I love, love, love being able to get back with you guys and hear what you're saying. So, folks, we'll see you guys next week on the next episode of Two Chairs, No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Bye.